This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Whoa. Here's Matt. Guns it. Caught. Hurst. Touchdown Atlanta in the end zone. Caught. Touchdown Calvin Ridley. Grady Jarrett got another one. You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, Hey, man. Hope you're having a great day as we get ready for our Braves to hopefully take a commanding 3-0 lead. More about that coming up. But right now we want to say good afternoon to Steve Weiss, who is a part of our Falcon Report, of course, from the NFL Network, and he's doing stuff for our Falcons as well. And Steve, it's good to have you back on this week. Lots to talk about, lots to get to. I want to start with the Falcons and where we currently are as we turn the page and now coming off the bye week and getting ready for the Dolphins. And I'm just curious to know what you think about what needs to improve in what area. Some people talk about special teams. Some people say the O-line and the evaluation there. Or what about the defense giving up all these yards? What area needs to improve coming out of the bye week?
Yeah, I mean, I think every area needs to improve, you know, honestly. You know, it's not that this is a perfect team, but let's start it off by, let's say the offense as a whole on its early downs. You know, instead of waiting for Cordarrelle Patterson on second and six or second and seven to make a play,
right.
Try to make that a second and four. You know, whether it's a run game, whether it's a quick passing game, to find some things to help Matt Ryan and this offense really get into a flow like they did against the Jets, you know, when Kyle Pitts was moving the sticks. And they were using the tight ends a lot right there. I think that's something we're going to see a little bit more. You know, Ridley's coming back. You know, hopefully he's all good and in the right headspace and everything's going to work well offensively. I mean, I think the offensive line is getting better. So we'll see. I mean, this Dolphins defensive front is physical. Defensively, clearly, you know, again, generating pass rush, not just from the edges, but from the interior, and just being better overall instead of giving up some of these chunk plays. I mean, there's a lot of areas I'm sure that they're going to try to address. But I think what's going to be interesting to see is how many of these young players are going to start getting put into the rotation like we saw getting in out of necessity in the game over in London, and guys like Kyle Pitts get more opportunities.
It really was the Kyle Pitts coming out party. Before I get to him, Steve, I want to ask you about Josh Andrews coming back off the busted hand. I think Mayfield's gotten better. There's still a lot of things we can improve, but, I mean, we were so afraid of the Jets after what they did to the Titans, and we kept Matt Ryan clean as far as a sack stat in that game. So what about the young guys in the center of the line? You want to stay with Mayfield and Hennessy?
I mean, I don't see what they've done to necessarily have lost their jobs. I think Jalen Mayfield is one of the better stories that's come along. Remember, preseason, they moved him out of tackle. He had a real tough time. They moved him inside. He seems to be getting better and better. And I saw some plays in that Jets game where he was manhandling people. So he seems to have his confidence. They really seem to be kind of on a thread. I mean, and that's important for the offensive line, for those guys to play together, to get familiar, and to kind of know what things, you know, how things are going. And so it's an interesting decision to see, but I think, you know, Mayfield, the way he's rolling and what we're hearing about development and getting guys reps and long-term futures, again, I don't see what he's necessarily done to lose his job right now.
I agree with you. I'm thinking about this O-line as a whole. It's Steve Weiss, guys, joining us here from the NFL Network on Dukes and Bell. Calvin Ridley, should I say, has not had a 100-yard game. Does that concern you? I know he was out from London, but does that bother you at all?
Well, I tell you, what bothers me more, you know, the 100-yard games, I mean, those come and go. I mean, you're seeing they're trying to spread the ball around. I think they're trying to figure out their offensive identity, and I think you saw more of that, you know, against the Jets over in London. I think Willie's 100-yard games will come. I mean, some of that's on him. He's had some opportunities to catch the ball and get some yak, and he's either gone down or not held on to the ball. I mean, so there's probably a lot of reasons for that to happen. But I think if they continue to go to Kyle Pitts and the tight ends like they did against the Jets, Ridley's going to get singled up, but he's going to have some opportunities to make plays. And, again, I think that's the evolution of this offense. So I think those 100-yard games are going to come. So the fact that it hasn't come yet really, I mean, that's, to me, not that alarming.
It is our man, Steve Wickedy Wickedy Weiss from NFL Network, and also down doing work with the Falcons and Falcons.com here on the WaitFor.com hotline. And, you know, Steve, that's the thing. We said we'd be going to have the Kyle Pitts coming out party, and man, did he look great. Now, is the floodgate open, and now we're going to see this on a regular basis with all those things you just mentioned with Calvin Ridley also drawing coverage?
Yeah, I mean, look, you're not going to see it on a regular basis. I mean, even Gronk and these guys aren't going to have repeated 100-yard games. Defenses are going to adjust. But what this does now is, okay, there's film on this. There's film on this guy. There's film on how good he is in the red zone. We got to pay him some extra attention. Well, you know, you pay him extra attention, that opens the doors for somebody else to exceed. So, again, it's going to be, if you look at around, you know, to some of the high-potent offenses in the NFL, especially when there's tight ends involved. I covered a game with the Raiders and Broncos last week. I think Darren Waller only had 4 targets. But so many other guys for the Raiders, you know, Brian, so those guys got down. So, again, I think that is how a good play designer, a good play schemer utilizes his talent best. I mean, Julio wasn't having 100-yard games every week either, but other guys were doing their thing. So, you know, I think that's how it's going to work. But, again, do not just ignore Pitts. Mm-hmm. Make him a part of something and say, look at me, look at me. And if teams are going to single him up like the Jets did, which was, like, driving me insane as to what they were thinking, then you go ahead and go to him. If teams are going to double him or do certain things to him, then you throw it to other people.
Steve, let's talk about what else is going on around the league. How much pressure is on Baker Mayfield now with the Browns playing on Thursday night? Quick turnaround. He's injured. They're not living up to expectations. How much pressure is on him?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say the immediate pressure because the dude's shoulder is completely out of pocket. You know, it's going to keep going. I mean, who knows if he's even going to play.
Right.
But overall, I mean, I think the pressure, there's some on Baker, but there's some just on the team as a whole. This is a run-based team that has been decimated by injuries. I mean, both tackles, Nick Chubb, wide receivers coming in and out of the lineup. There's pressure on Mayfield to step up, but now with his durability in question, I don't think you could pin it all on him. Because remember, this defense has given up a lot of points as well, and this defense is stacked. It is loaded. And so, as a team, they have been disappointing, and Baker has not lived up to his end. But to say there's a ton of pressure on him might be overstating it, but clearly there is some pressure for him to deliver and help these guys kind of get out of what they're in. I still think they're a good football team, but these injuries are absolutely something to, you know, you just can't ignore.
You know, I'll say this though, Steve. I mean, I'd have a hard time giving him, you know, a mega deal because you look at the Ravens, Lamar Jackson. They've had the same kind of issues on offensive line. They've been to what, 3 running backs, and their defense is. I mean, Mendy's just a better organization and better run, but the Ravens have been able to weather all that, and they're 5-1.
Yeah,
100%. I mean, and that's the thing when it comes to the big contract. I mean, that's your like, okay, we can't pay. You know, right now he has not shown us that we can pay him this big contract. I mean, look what happened, you know, to the Rams with Jared Goff and Carson Wentz and the Eagles, you know, getting those big contracts out too soon. But they still have the 5th-year option on him. And that's, you know, that's what's going to decide if they're going to pick it up or not. And that's a tough question because then you got to ask yourself, okay, if we lose Baker and everything we've established or not, who's next? So you got to have a plan B in place because if you go in there rolling the dice, you know, option 1 and option 2 might not be available. And then you're starting back at square one.
Steve Weiss, our guest, guys. He joins us on a weekly basis here on Dukes and Bell, talking football, all things NFL. And, of course, you can check Steve out, NFL Network, and he does great work for our Falcons as well as he covers our team. The surprise of the league has been, obviously, Kyler Murray, the undefeated Cardinals. Is that a surprise for you? Did you expect to see them play as well as they have? And they've beat some really quality opponents.
100%. No, and no, it's an absolute surprise for me. And trust me, I mean, Cliff Kingsbury was on a warm seat coming in. The key thing now is can they sustain? Because the one thing the Cardinals have done is gotten off to fast starts. They did last year. I think they were 6-2 after 8, and then they, you know, then they leveled off. So if they can keep this up, they're a very dangerous team, because you see the talent all over the place, and they have clearly gone all in by making that trade for Zach Ertz when Max Williams gets hurt. So, I mean, that's a big deal. The part of the team that we're not talking about is the defense and how well it's played. You look at their numbers, points allowed, some of the key categories, and getting pressures. Yeah, there's Chandler Jones and J.J. Watts, but a guy like Marcus Golden, who was with them and then went away for a couple years and came back, he's killing it. Isaiah Simmons is killing it. Buda Baker, some of those players, some of the talent, the young talent that's been developed by Vance Joseph on that defense to mesh with some of that veteran talent. That is the story that needs to be paid attention to and why this Arizona team is for real.
It's our man Steve Weiss, guys, breaking it down, going all around the NFL. Let's take it out of South Florida, because we get the Dolphins this week. We get the bye out of the London trip. They just get us after the London trip. And Carl and I were talking about Tua. He put up some really good stats, but there were some plays that needed to be made he couldn't make. It always seems like he's on the fence, or the organization's on the fence with him. What do you make of Miami? If I told you we're going to have more wins than them going into week 7, you just said no way.
Well, you talk about the biggest surprise in Arizona on the positive tip. The biggest surprise on the negative tip are the Dolphins. They're a disaster. They can't score. They have no offensive identity. None. What do they do? I mean, even with Tua being hurt and Jacoby Brissett, they don't run the ball well. They don't throw the ball well. I mean, Jalen Waddle's a stud. He looks like a very special player, and that's the guy the Falcons have to pay attention to. But even defensively, with all of the players and all of the great things they did last season leading the NFL in takeaways, what do they – I mean, it's like, what are they – does anything on there like – okay, what do they do well? Mm-hmm. And it's really starting to come undone, and some of the personnel mistakes, which could be Tua, could not be Tua. There's not enough body of work, but with Justin Herbert and these guys out there for basis of comparison, that's always going to be second guessed. And so, look, Atlanta has a great chance to get to 500 this week, because the Dolphins can't score. They cannot. They do not put points on the board. They're tough. They're physical. They know they're reeling, so the Falcons have got to be ready. But I look at this now as a game the Falcons should win, when even 3 weeks ago I was kind of like, no, this is a game they're going to go to. They have to struggle to win.
I'm with you. That's why I like our chances this weekend. Hey, Steve, great job as always, man. We appreciate the time. Looking forward to seeing what happens in the NFL as we move forward. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, man. Cool. Good stuff. Steve Weiss, guys. Mike, and you know, I don't want to get overly excited about the Falcons' chances, but I'm with him. That's what we were saying about the Dolphins to fans and listeners who were arguing with us yesterday. Tua's not the problem. This is not the problem. It's not a good football team.
Right. I'm with you. It's just they're struggling. Hey, man, the Braves, we were talking so much today, Carl, and the Braves fans asking us about Freddie. What's Freddie going to do? We'll tell you. Things are, I mean, we said capitalizing early could be a key, and they got a chance to do that today in L.A.
Yeah, they do, man. We're going to dive into it. We're going to talk more Braves. We got a lot more to get into, including a great interview with John Collins that people are responding to and talking about our Hawks as they get ready for the start of the season. NBA starts tonight, guys. Our team tips off on Thursday night. It's Dukes and Bell.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
Hey, guys, our Falcon Report is brought to you by our friends at Domino's, Mike.
Yeah, man, Domino's, don't forget, they got freeze. I know you're looking for freeze, not fees, and there's tons of freeze, Carl. You get a chance to win everything from free pizzas to desserts like lava cakes. Go to Domino's.com where you're hunkering down to watch baseball or football this week. It's Domino's.com for a 1 in 14 chance at scoring the goodies.
All right, guys, it's Dukes and Bell. Thanks to Steve Weiss for jumping on and joining us. And we've been talking all day about Game 3, Mike, and hopefully getting off on the right foot. Let's just hope that's the case and hope that the Braves can find a way to break through and win a game three. It's part of our strong arm story of the day, guys, as we were talking about what this series is and where we currently are. But there's still a lot to be determined, Mike. And, you know, as confident as I am, and I've been talking about it all day, we're on a win streak and all the things that are going on, you still have to go win. You still have to go make plays. And that's what we've got to do by no stretch of the imagination. And I want to be clear. I know some people are saying, Dukes, it sounds like you think this is over. I do not. But I do think if we win today, it puts the Dodgers in a very tough position.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it's something that we talked about earlier today. And it reminds you a little bit, Carl, of what happened. We talked about it an hour ago in the Milwaukee series, where we'd have these scoring opportunities in the first inning and we let them off the hook. And that's exactly what happened to the Braves. Earlier in the first, Rosario, again, just paying dividends. He singles, and then all that conversation, Carl, about Freddie not able to make contact. Freddie Freeman singles to left, and then Rosario's on second, first and second. Now right. we're doing business, right?
Right.
And then Albies lines into a double play. Rosario got way, way off of second. And Chris and I were just, our engineer, and we were just talking about it during the break. I know you want to get a healthy lead and use your speed element, but he just got way too far off. So you got to call it a baseball. It's a base running error, Carl. It's another mistake.
It is. It's a mistake, plain and simple, that shouldn't happen at this point in the season. Again, if it's April or May, Mike, you go, all right, not now. Where were you going? I mean, you've got to be paying attention, and I'm this sounds very basic, guys, but you've got to be paying attention to where that ball is, where it's hit, so I can get back and at least still be in an opportunity for us to be in a chance to score. You know, a runner is still in scoring position. That's not the case. He gets picked off. He is out. And they get out of the inning, and all of a sudden now Walker Buehler seems like he's been energized. We will see where this goes. Currently, it's not the way you want to start the game, but I got to tell you, man, I don't know if I pitched to this dude anymore in this series.
Yeah, Seager goes yard. And again, it's way too early to be belly aching about the strike zone, but we didn't know what the hell the strike zone was on Sunday night. I was there at Truist Park. Mookie Betts walks on five pitches, and three of those balls were in the strike zone. I don't know what is going on here, but it's going to be a long day for the Braves. If that's the strike zone, they're going to freaking call. So a leadoff walk to Betts. I thought three of those pitches were strikes. There was one that he was not, you're not giving Morton the low and away, but anyway, I digress. And then Seager goes yard, a monster shot over 440 feet.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm paying. I don't know if I'm pitching this dude.
No. Two home runs in a row for this guy.
He's hot.
We know what happens with the Dodgers when this starts to happen for this team. So, yeah, you're right. No more for that.
All right. Real quick, can we hear Charlie Morton? We played this earlier, but I want you to hear what he had to say about going into this matchup today. This is about facing the Dodger lineup. Morton's been here. He's done this. This is not new to him. He's still throwing heat. He's still got great stuff. He's just got to be, you know, in command of that. Here's Charlie Morton.
I'm aware of how good they've been in the regular season and the postseason. But at the end of the day, I really have to look at those guys as individuals each time I face them. Because you can kind of get overwhelmed by a team, especially if they're performing really, really well. And then, so just being objective, and trying to look at them as individuals, that's how I'll go about it.
So we hope that he stays in and pitches deep into this game. I think, you know, that's also going to be a key.
Well, not if this ump keeps calling the crap he's calling right now, Carl.
The pitch count's going to go up. You and I both know how this works, right? You get squeezed, and then all of a sudden, Mike, you're at 70 pitches when you should be at 50. So we will listen. Look at us, man. We're all already upset.
Yeah, it's just like, again, my beef over baseball the last 20 years is what the F is the strike zone? You know, and it's only the biggest games of the year, and Morton can't do his job if you're not going to give him the black of the plate. Okay, I mean, Chris, jump in here. Am I crazy?
No, not at all. And we just saw this happen again in the at bat against Turner. Morton
sure
had strike three. It was bottom right zone, and he just didn't call it.
Yeah, back corner of the plate, and this is the thing. Years ago, it's Dukes and Bell. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sorry, as we ran watching the Braves,
but years ago, Mike, we didn't have the technology to see where these balls were. It was literally just our eyeballs and our thoughts, right? Oh, it looked good. Now, when you slow it down, you've seen the graphics, guys. You've seen how they're able to show you exactly where this ball is delivered and how it falls into the zone. There's no excuse. Like, that you can't say, oh, well, he didn't see that. It's obvious. So, I'm with you.
Mush.
All right. Plenty more to get to, guys.
I'm going to get a hey, man. I'm going right to the mini fridge. Hold on. It takes me 3 seconds to put my headphones down. Hold on. Go ahead.
We're going to get to more on what Kirby's talking about. We talked a little bit about this last hour for those who are just joining us. JT Daniels is throwing more. Now, how much more is he going to throw between now and the Florida game, which is not until the 30th, right? October 30th. That's really going to depend on his availability, meaning how sore is he, how accurate is he with his throws, all of that. So we're going to dive into that because Kirby was talking about that today, as well as the identity of this football team. And, Mike, I think the identity is defense, right? As good as the offense has been, but is it just defense?
Yeah, man, you went up against the most physical team you've played, with all due respect to Sam Pittman's Arkansas. And, you know, obviously Clemson knows something about hitting you too, right, Carl? But then, you know, Clemson's been a little bit devalued because of the way they've looked. But I thought from just where I told you yesterday, from where I was sitting, the pads were popping. I just think, you know, it really set you up well for a Florida team that had some success running the football against Alabama. And if Georgia stymies the Florida run game, then we can honestly say that, yes, Georgia's defense is better. We know they are, but we can really say definitively they're better than Alabama as we're already starting to look ahead to the SEC championship. So I don't care who the quarterback is. And that's a conversation that you and I would have laughed at if we said we'd be saying this 2 weeks before this game last year, right?
Yeah, I only care, Mike, if the quarterback starts to make mistakes. See, the thing is, Stetson hasn't made mistakes. If he starts to make mistakes and then puts you in a bind or gives you short fields,
right,
you know, that's what changes games. We haven't seen that. So that's the only time that I'm going to really start to care about who the quarterback is. And we'll hear from Stetson as well. He talked about his growth because it's something we've heard Kirby talk a lot about, where he was last year compared to where he is now. But I got to tell you, man, I feel great about Georgia's chances, not only to get to the SEC championship, but to get to the college football playoff. I was saying this on the national show, Mike, this weekend. Even if Georgia loses to Alabama, right, how can you deny their body of work in the SEC championship game and go, yeah, but they don't deserve to get in? It's not happening, guys. That's why winning against Florida and continuing to run the table is so important, Mike. You have to go into that game undefeated.
Yeah, man, the Georgia Bulldogs, as we know, with the schedule. You know, one thing is they will have on the resume, Carl, just to your point, if heaven forbid you do lose to Alabama, you've got wins against ranked opponents like Clemson, Kentucky. You know, Auburn was ranked. I mean, you know, Auburn's done some decent things this year. Of course, not helping losing LSU. But there's just – or I should say they helped their resume by beating LSU. There's some good things that are on the resume because we were looking at the schedule like it was a real dog, right? And then you see we didn't expect Kentucky to be this good, and they gave Georgia, you know, some challenges in that matchup. And they also showed some things which I think Dan Mullen will try to do. But is his quarterback able to get the ball out that quickly to the flat? I don't know about that. You know, I mean, I think there's some things other teams will try to do that Kentucky had some success in throwing the football, like getting the ball out like that, you know, before Georgia gets into their sets.
I think so, too. All right, we'll hear from Kirby. We'll hear from Stetson coming up. Braves currently down 2-0, guys. And Charlie's struggling because Mike mentioned it. The strike zone is being squeezed. And we'll see where this goes. We'll keep you updated right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Plenty more to dive into. And coming up next hour, we've been giving you a chance to win tickets to the event coming up on Saturday. We're going to talk to one of the boxers involved, and he has a local tie. He's from here. Yeah, that's all coming up on Dukes and Bell.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Hope you're having a great day. If you are just joining us, it's been a busy, busy show, man. We had a chance earlier today to talk to our guy Chuck Smith, who helped us break down a lot of NFL stuff going around the league. It was talking about defenses and performances. Joe Patrick joined us, but also we got a chance to talk to John Collins today. And the Hawks start their season on Thursday against Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks. So we're going to play that and a little bit of that tomorrow for you guys who missed it. But John, obviously excited now that his deal is done. But the expectations for this Hawks team is real, and that is top 4 seed in the East, Mike. Nothing less, right?
Nothing less will suffice. I'm with you, man. I think that some of the things that are real concerns. I mean, the Sixers are not the same team if Simmons can't do some of the things he does defensively and slashing to the basket. Who knows where this is going to go? And then we already talked about the Nets. Yeah, they're certainly a different team without Kyrie.
Yeah.
And as we said, he's prepared to walk the earth like Kane in Kung Fu. So, yeah, Carl, I could definitely see us, even with the emergence of the Bulls and the Miami Heat with some of the moves they made in the offseason. Yeah, baby, I like top 3 for us.
I do, too. Let's talk about the Dogs, guys, and we'll get you caught up on the Braves coming up at the top of the hour here. Let you know what's going on. But Kirby Smart was talking about the defense and specifically the success that they've had. This is on pace, okay, to be, if they continue this you know, trajectory that they're on to be one of the best defenses in college football history. You talk about points given up, yards, and all of those things. And it's so hard these days with the way offenses are. I mean, these offenses are built to put up points. These offenses are spreading the ball around. You've got more athletes on the field than you've ever had. Mm-hmm. And so Kirby talked about the success of his D.
The buy-in. You know, there's no selfishness. They buy in. Probably the other thing that stood out is the way they practice. My favorite part of the day is when you go into a meeting and all the kids start saying, give me a nugget. Give me a nugget, coach. Give me a nugget. They want Dan and Schumann and Muschamp and Adai and Trey Scott to give them a nugget. The nugget is a note that might help me in the game. You know, they boot to their left 10 more times than they boot to their right. That's a nugget. You know, I'm going to take that and I'm going to use that some kind of way to make me better. You know, when this player lines up here, this is the play that's coming. That's a nugget. And they embrace those nuggets. And there's a lot of college football teams that go in a meeting and it's like Charlie Brown and wah-wah. We don't do that. We entertain. We play music. We challenge. We make guys stand up, talk. It's teaching. Now, please don't mistake it for good players. We got good players. But those things combined help, and I appreciate our staff, offense, defense, special teams, for the way they coach our players and teach our players.
I'm glad he said that, because let's not fool ourselves. I've said this. Give me five-star after five-star after five-star, Mike. You got more talent than me. You're probably going to be better than me. Even if my coaching is not up to par. Now, if my coaching is up to par and I have five-star after five-star after five-star, you get Nick Saban. You get championships and you get runs at championships.
That's a nugget.
That's where Kirby is right now. So that's a great soundbite, though, because you wonder, like, what are they doing, right, day in and day out to get these kids to buy in and to get locked in? And he's like, listen, we're teaching, but they're also active. They're involved. They're asking questions. We're asking them questions. I think, Mike, all of that plays into what we've seen so far.
You know, it's really cool to hear Kirby kind of letting some of this. I mean, again, some of the inside stuff that you're not hearing from him in years past. I don't know if you think he's evolving too. He's more comfortable with this stuff.
I do.
You know, it's just something, you know, you and I've talked about. We'll talk about it later in the week with Connor Riley from Dog Nation. But yeah, I mean, look, you got a defense that's just lights out, and the statistics are just mind blowing. In a world where college football is just careening off to, like, you know, 45 points in these big games, and Georgia's just, you know, not happening. It's, you're not going to get to do that. The cocktail party is a measuring stick, just because even if Florida was, you know, 1-5 when you played him, it's still Florida, right? It's still going to be a big, you know, big game. And then, you know, the rest of it, you know, and Georgia Tech, with all due respect, they're not going to be able to do what they want to do against that defense. So you're really in a good position. The only thing that could maybe limit you is if your offense has a bad day, right? And you need something out of your quarterback. But so far that hasn't been the case. So we can keep rolling with Bennett, although we play those comments that JT apparently is up in his pitch count in practice.
Yeah. And by the way, I can't wait to see how that is done. Meaning how does Kirby handle that? If JT's ready, and will they tell us, Mike? Or are they still going to say, we'll see? Are they going to tell us he's 100% ready to go? Because if he is, then people are going to say, okay, well, why isn't he playing, right?
Exactly. I just think that, you know, but you and I have gone round and round on this, and it's just, it was just, you know, it's funny because as a season, before a season starts, right, there's talking points. How are we going to match up with Clemson, right? Well, they just spoke, they stopped Clemson dead in their tracks. Now, nobody in God's green earth, okay, no analyst, nobody on, you know, from college football, any program, any publication could see Clemson looking the way they look. Did Georgia knock it out of them? I don't know, but you did. You handled your business, and it's still. I think you got to go back and look at what the game was at the time. So it's not devalued, right? You agree?
No.
Still, Clemson,
no.
big thing. So here's the deal. I think if you look at Georgia, and when we had said all these, we have to have a quarterback who can give you 6 or 7 touchdowns. That was our measuring stick, and now it looks like you need a quarterback who can give you 3 touchdowns, and that's going to get it done.
Nugget is a note that might help me in the game. That's a nugget. That's a nugget. And they embrace those nuggets.
But, I mean, well, we've gone round and round trying to get inside Kirby's head like, is he not comfortable with JT? The only thing with JT is if he gets hurt again, I don't want to even see him out there. And I'm not trying to be mean-spirited about a student-athlete, but he's got to show some durability now, doesn't he?
Yeah, but I just think it's simple for Kirby. I don't think he makes it too hard. You know what I think? I think he says, who's ever playing the best is going to play. And I think we try to make it more than what it is. And I say the fan base. Who's playing better? Is 98 playing better than 91? 98 plays. Is 76 playing better than 64? 64. It's that simple. I don't think he goes into how much he likes a kid or what, you know, a guy like Stetson Bennett has been through at the program. That's a nice story. Kirby's got the respect of these guys. They'll go on to become hopefully successful men, Mike, in life, and they'll come back and they'll still talk about those things. But I got to play the best guys if I'm going to win a championship. And I think that's where Kirby is. He talked about the identity of the team. Listen to this.
Our DNA continues to repeatedly show up. Composure, connection, resiliency, and toughness. Those qualities come through in this team. You know, at halftime, nobody was panicked. Nobody was, you know, nervous. It's, hey, it's a physical football game. We're going to stay aggressive. Keep coming at them. And give them a lot of credit. They got a good football team. But I'm proud of our guys and the way so many players have risen up and rose to the occasion.
It's like this show. It's like this show. Can you play that again, Chris? Because he said composure, connection. What were the other two? Let me hear Kirby again.
Our DNA continues to repeatedly show up. Composure, connection, resiliency, and toughness. Those qualities come through in this team, you know.
Yeah. Okay, so resiliency, composure, connection, and toughness. That's Georgia's identity. He's absolutely right. They have responded when they've been hit back in the mouth. Auburn did it early in the game, no problem. Kentucky thought they were going to do something, no problem. Toughness, they've shown that all season long. Composure, nobody shook them.
No, now, what will be the game where they're tested, right? I mean, that's the one you and I keep, you know, we're looking at the schedule. And look, going into Auburn is a big game, right? I mean, and they handled it.
And
Auburn, remember, Auburn had that big drive. And you're thinking, uh-oh, this is going to be a long afternoon at Jordan-Hare. And then they just keep on doing their thing. You know, I said the only thing you've seen, aside from the athleticism of a quarterback like, you know, Bo Nix getting outside the pocket, was Kentucky throwing the ball quickly to the side or getting the ball quickly out before Georgia could do some of those sets and give some of those looks, which have been confusing quarterbacks. Mark Stoops' staff said, look, we're gonna beat Georgia to the punch and snap the ball quickly. That's the only thing I've seen that somebody might try to copycat, right?
Yeah, but I just think the speed of the defense as a whole – here's what's crazy.
Right, they're going to get there. And, if you want to dedicate two guys to Jordan Davis, so somebody else is going to get you.
Yeah. The speed.
On Jordan Davis, right?
Not just at the linebacking position, but also in the secondary and also along that D-line. All those guys can run. These big dudes are running to the football. That's what's crazy. Like, usually big guys are like, damn, all right, I just beat a double team. I'm going to take three steps and stop. They're not doing that. It's going to be crazy, man. Hey, we'll
and
see.
And the schedule, as we said, Florida's the big one. Mizzou is at Athens. You go up to Tennessee, Charleston Southern, and then Tech. I mean, it's lined up, man. It really is.
All right, guys. Coming up, top three at 6. We'll hear from our manager. We'll hear from Arthur Smith. Falcons back to work. And everybody is pretty much back, except for Caleb McGarry, who is on the COVID list. But he could be back before Sunday. We'll fill you in also on the latest around the NFL and the NBA. Big story in the NBA today that we've been talking about as well. It's Dukes and Bell.
Yes, and Nugget.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.